As a rule, at this time, we do some teaching about the Torah portion, or the Haftarah, and I am going to connect it in a minute, but primarily, I want to respond to a question that someone asked me last week at the Kiddush, which reminded me that even though people say the prayers every week, it doesn't mean that they've ever had the chance to learn what some of them mean or why we do what we do during the prayers. And so I thought that I would talk this morning about something that everybody has seen if they've gone to Jewish prayer early enough, and some of you didn't see it this morning, but I'll tell you about it now, which is when we say the Shema, which if you're not familiar with it, it's on page 112 in your prayer book. When we say the Shema, what do? We cover our eyes. And someone came up to me last week and had the courage to ask something that she said, I've been doing this my entire life and I actually never asked anyone why we do it. Why do we cover our eyes when we say the Shema? And so I thought that I would discuss that for a minute today and then say something about how it ties in to the Haftarah that we're about to hear from our Bar and Bat Mitzvah. There are primarily two reasons why we cover our eyes when we say the Shema, and they're in some ways related. The first is, as you know already, services are long. We start at 8:45 and we usually finish around noon. Now, they're not equally long for everybody because not everybody comes at 8:45. But even if you come later, it's very hard to maintain any sort of pitch of religious intensity for 3 hours and 15 minutes, or for 2 hours and 15 minutes, or even less. And the rabbis are aware of this, and so they don't ask that every single prayer you say as though your soul was at stake, because it's just not realistic. So they say, for most prayers, you do not need what's called in Hebrew kavanah. Kavanah is a sort of combination of intensity and focus and enthusiasm, but they said for the Shema, since it's the central declaration of Jewish prayer, you got to focus on it. You can't say the Shema sort of offhandedly. And in order to help you focus on it, you cover your eyes, because you will notice, by the way, if you close your eyes for a second right now, you'll hear my voice better. It's just a function of turning off one sense to sharpen another. So since the Shema is about focus, the first thing you do is you try to close your eyes from all the distractions around you. And second, what does the word Shema mean? Listen. And you listen better when you don't look. And you know that looking changes your listening. If you've ever heard somebody on the radio and then you see them on TV, you go, ah, that's, now I have an image of that person in my mind, and it changes the way they sound. Now, there's one, I don't want to say person, but I'll use person here just for a second, that you should not have an image of, because if you have an image, it's distorting, and what's that? God. So when you say the Shema, you deliberately close off images, and you say there's only one God, and you remind yourself that in the Torah and in the Jewish tradition, God appears not as an image, but as a word. When God gives the Torah, God does it through words. Even creating the world. This morning, if you were here really early, you heard Baruch She'amar, which is a prayer we say every morning. Baruch She'amar v'haya ha'olam. Blessed be God who spoke and there was a world. God didn't wave a magic wand. God spoke. And in fact, Moses this morning, when he commits the sin that I will make reference to a little later in the sermon, what does he do? He hits the rock instead of doing what? Speaking to it. Because the word is supposed to bring on the miracle. Not the action, but the word. And this morning in the Haftarah, I promised you I'd come back to it, when two parties are making a pact and they say, God will be a witness for us. Now, when we think witness, we think eyewitness, right? A witness is someone who sees something. But you know the word that the Hebrew, that the Haftarah uses for witness? Hashomea, which means the one who hears. because hearing in the Jewish tradition has in some ways been a much more important sense than seeing. We heard God's revelation at Sinai. We didn't see it, right? We saw thunder and lightning, didn't see God. And the tradition, after all, is a book. The Torah is a book, and what do you do with a book? You hear it. Nobody says, oh, I saw that, it was a great book. No, you hear the words in your head when you read, you hear them out loud when they are read for you. So when you say the Shema, you affirm that this is in some ways the central sense of spirituality. Not what you see, but what you hear. Because those are the messages that run over and over and over again in your mind. And remember, we don't have a perfect image of a human being. What we have are stories, our traditions. That's why Judaism survived. Not because it had a huge cathedral, because if it had been dependent on something you could see, then when the temple was destroyed, Judaism would have been destroyed. But the word is indestructible. So when you say the Shema, you're affirming the importance of the word, the eternity of the word, and you focus on that moment as we hear about in the Haftarah this morning. So next time you cover your eyes for the Shema, I hope that will give you a better sense of why we do it and what it means and its deep rootedness in the Jewish tradition and our conception of God.